Hello, everybody. Welcome to the last ever British Tech Network Mac show from Europe.
I'm glad you gave us the qualification.
Because next week, Patrice is going to have to bring a passport, otherwise he's not coming on.
Oh, but that means you're not really leaving. You're still in Europe.
Yeah, you've already got a two-year visa. It's not expired yet, Jeff, so you're all right.
Oh, okay.
By the time some of you have heard this, we'll no longer be in Europe. We will have shed a tear and we will have left our European brethren for pastures new. And it doesn't matter what you think now, just get on with it, eh? So there we go. But I reiterate something that I always reiterate, is that just because we're called the British Tech Network, don't think we're a bunch of fascists and don't think we're a bunch of racists, because anyone starts throwing that out here, they're going to get short shrift. We are a massively proud to be inclusive network of great people from all faiths, all colours, all religions, all creeds, and that's going to continue even though we're not in Europe. There we go. Time for the Apple news, then we'll leave the politics alone, shall we?
Good idea.
Joining us, good panel. A European panel and a transatlantic panel and a Callum panel.
Someone confirming them. Yeah, thank you.
Starting us off, top left, Patrice. We wanted a Hawaiian panelist, but it's too much to ask to have it 2 weeks in a row, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
How you doing, Patrice?
Doing well. Like, I'm really happy the week is over. Has been a bit crazy today. I don't know what's happening, but like, I came home and like first I had like an old lady with a really stinky hot dog next to me on the train. I was like, okay. And then like I had a drunk older gentleman who fell down right when I was coming home. So like he got taken care of. So it's all good. But I don't know what's happening today.
Yeah, no. What was on the hot dog? Onions? Mushrooms?
Yeah, onions. And like it just was really stinky. I don't know what he was eating.
Sacred?
Probably. Yeah, something like that. I didn't really check. It was just very annoying.
Bob's just put in the chat room his magic man here. Is he out celebrating? I think he probably, yeah, he's probably out getting pissed. Good point. Well, you look happier this week.
I do. That's good. That's good to know. Yeah, I'm overall like doing okay.
No one likes a stinky hot dog, says Joe. No, quite right.
Yep.
I have to say I did like the burn yesterday in the chat room, in the Slack room rather. That was kind of, you said about, I don't want to get out of bed. But I said, what, you've got a bed?
Mm-hmm. Oh. That was good.
It was a good burn.
Yeah, I actually got like some furniture at least, in the bedroom at least.
Yeah.
So.
Anders has posted quite possibly the worst joke ever, that after tonight, Europe will have 1 gigabyte of space left over, i.e. there'll be one GB less. Which,
yep.
Oh, I get it.
That is a really bad joke.
Yeah, and someone in a chat room where he got the joke from said, you do realize it's the entire UK that's leaving, mate. And it's just like, oh, a frigging joke. Shut up. Tosser. Tom wants to know if he missed the Boulder weather report. In fact, actually, no, you're just in time, Tom. Jeffrey, Boulder weather report, because Tom's here. He might have a meeting. Let's go. He's in California.
All right, 41 degrees Fahrenheit, and when I got back from Vegas yesterday evening, it was right about 32 and snowing lightly, but based on the way it looks outside today, you would never know.
Okay, right, there you go. Are we going to go through an entire winter with no snow in Boulder of any significance?
We've had a couple snows, and one of them was,
they've got to be a significance, haven't they? They've got to stay for a while. You've got to have a winter, you know.
Snow for us doesn't typically stay very long.
Oh, right. Okay.
So unless we're getting snow after snow, it will melt and it'll just be gone for a while.
Now, the thing is, we need to work out whether the Boulder weather report needs to become a thing or whether it's just going to be one of those things that someone's like, oh, for God's sake, get on with it, like Santa.
You know, it could go either way.
It could. Yeah, absolutely. I quite like it. Are you well, mate?
I am.
Was it? Are you glad to be back from Vegas, though?
I am glad to be back from Vegas. I spend every time I go to Vegas, I spend so much time coughing and sneezing just because, you know, there's cigarette smoke everywhere. There's no way to get away from it. And that just doesn't work well for me.
Do they smoke in the buildings? Is the smoke in the buildings?
Smoking through all the buildings. Oh, yep. Christ. Yep. And most bars smoking all the time.
Like Italy, then.
It's like spending a week inside an ashtray.
Yet another reason not to go to Vegas.
Exactly. I was just sitting thinking, well, that would put me off going, but Vegas puts me off going full stop before that. That's just kind of sealed the deal.
It just feels grungy everywhere because of all the cigarette smoke.
Yeah, never mind.
So my voice will recover over the weekend, and the sneezing has already subsided, and now just some occasional coughing.
Yeah, good. Bloody well. I tell you what we need to do, Callum. We need to get a mug out to Jeffrey as well.
Yeah. And I'll make sure that it happens next week. We try and get a mug to you.
Right, so if you look in the Callum is here
next week's show, but the week after.
Callum from iMen's Max is here, and I passed up a mug yesterday because I was about to carry two of them around all day. We get the whole team iMen Mac mugs, one to Austria, one to Denver, the one to Hawaii. Unless he comes on more regularly, he's not getting one.
You know, I'm happy to trade mugs. Do you want text expander mugs?
Oh,
I can make that happen.
Oh, mate.
Yes.
Right. So you need to send the whole team text expander mugs, and they need to send the whole team iMen Mac mugs, and then good.
And it will be beautiful.
Yeah. Who's just taking a screenshot then?
That was me.
So how are you, Callum?
I'm not too bad. I'm okay. Bit of a busy week, but plenty of jobs coming in and out, and everyone waiting till next week to pay for them. But busy week, and plenty of stuff to do. A couple of older bits came in. A couple of interesting bits. Had a 2007 MacBook Pro 15-inch in today that's not turning on. So,
excellent.
Stuff of all ages.
Ooh. I tell you what we could do as well for text expander mugs and iMen Mac. We could have a little competition. You could win a mug.
Ooh.
Ooh. I am totally up with that.
How many should we give away? We've got to keep it. We can't say 100 because it's not exclusive, is it? So it's going to be like five or something.
Sure. I'm totally game for that.
Happily do that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So there you go. We'll add that. And don't forget, of course, we have got the Spider data color competition. I don't know if I remember to mention it last week.
I did.
All you got to do is go to the YouTube channel for British Tech Network and like and subscribe. And at the end of February, we will take all of the people who like and subscribe to the network, and we will put them in a hat, and we will draw out, and we've got two of these to give away. So if you'd like a data color spider calibrator, then like and subscribe to the channel, and you're off and running. And I think this is a record. I'm going to do a fourth photo show this afternoon in a row. Might even be a fifth, actually, now I think about it. Unheard of. The Week in Apple. We'll think of a competition. So think of a question, and we'll give away five mugs from Texas Vander and five mugs from iMen Max. And do you need to run that past budgetary control with Joe yet? Or?
No. I think I'm licensed to make that decision.
Okay, cool. Greedy would sell them.
Yep. Mugs with the handle on the inside.
So, right, come back next week, fellas, with five mugs and a question each, and we'll give away five text expander mugs and five iMen Mac mugs. That'd be really cool. And I'm going to get a mug that I can use on the show for each of them as well.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right, first story then. Apple's worth more than Germany.
Wow.
This Wes has just put the week in Apple dollars. Either he's got an incredibly fast connection, because he couldn't have typed that fast enough, or it was predictable that we were going to say, no, it's not Germany. It's Germany's DAX stock markets. So I'm guessing that's like the FTSE 100?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. So it's bigger than your top 100 companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what our top 100 companies are here. Like,
well, you've got loads of you. I mean, you've got Siemens and all that kind
of stuff. That's true. BMW, probably.
The
our companies.
The market cap on Apple is currently standing at $1.4 trillion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that is bigger than certain countries.
That's incredible. I'm pretty sure. That is absolutely incredible. Only the Saudi Aramco oil company is worth more.
Mm-hmm.
Bloody scary, isn't it? And all the
deals. Yeah, and I mean Amazon and I think Amazon and Google or Amazon and Microsoft or probably both are following that. Like they're very close.
Yeah, they were ping-ponging for a while, weren't they?
So, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So the combined DAX is worth $1.36 trillion, and that includes business software giant SAP at $162 billion.
Oh yeah, forgot about those.
Linde Chemicals at $111 billion. Mm-hmm. Siemens at $108 billion. I got that right. And Allianz Insurance at $100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, based on the fact that it's Apple, and it's I want to have a whinge this week. Because I've got to say, this week I've suffered more than any other week. I've had a good week, don't get me wrong, I'm happy. But I've suffered far more this week than ever before with permissions errors on Catalina and trying to start... I lost a video file. The video file didn't close. So I've been trying to find little scripts and applications to run to get the video file back. And I don't know enough about Terminal to know if I'm being had, there was a couple of them that I found, one called a fix program, and I could read the script lines and go, yeah, this isn't doing anything horrific. Just trying to get it to run was a pain in the ass. Trying to write from Final Cut to an external drive, I just cannot get it to work. No matter how hard I try, it just keeps saying no permissions errors. There is no way to fix the permissions. You open up Get Info, you go to the bottom. I'm not doing a PRAM reset because that's bollocks. But I am sick and tired of how restrictive Catalina is now. Apple have gone too far, and they've shot it with me as far as it's concerned. I think OS X is now quite dysfunctional at the intermediate user. I wouldn't class myself as an advanced user. I'm not a power user by any stretch. I'm an intermediate user, and I think actually what they've done is because I think people like you, Patrice, you can probably make it fly, and it doesn't affect you. But me, I'm in that cleft stick where I'm not a junior user and I'm not a power user, and it's absolutely bent me over. I hate it at the moment. Discuss.
I mean, I haven't had any issues like that, but I've heard from other people, and like, I still disagree like that Apple shouldn't be doing it. I think in general, like the security aspect of it is definitely worth it, but especially Final Cut. I mean, that is an Apple product. That should not be happening.
Yeah,
not at all.
Totally.
I mean, if it was like a third party that hasn't updated their software in like 4 years or whatever, okay. But like Final Cut, that's really bad. Like if Final Cut can't do it or Apple can't figure it out for Final Cut, then it's broken.
Yeah. Comment from Bob Beach. Catalina sometimes reminds me of Vista with the allow or deny questions. Yeah, but the thing was, in Vista, at least you had a question. At least you could answer it. And that's the trouble, is I can't even frigging answer it.
Yeah.
Callum, I know you... So go on, Jeff.
I was thinking about the state of Mac OS quite a bit the other day because apparently I have no life.
No, you're in Vegas and you're not going to hire a hooker, so...
True.
And you're not going to gamble. So what else are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true. I am not a gambler. So so I sit around and think about the state of Mac OS. And I feel like, in many ways, we have moved backwards with the functionality and the just general usability of the operating system. I mean, for example, the constant permissions questions that you're having to deal with right now,
mm-hmm.
and how that feels like the old Windows joke. Windows has detected that your mouse moved. For this change to take effect, your computer needs to restart. And you know, your computer started up, click okay to approve this, or cancel to shut back down, or, you know, whatever. But then there's other things like, excuse me.
No, no worries, mate. I'll edit.
Do you remember when the operating system could just understand what a file type was without extensions? And yeah. Now you can just straight up break your computer by going in and changing a single file extension if you want. Mm-hmm. And so we have things like that, and it just feels like in some ways it makes me miss the good old days of Mac OS 9.
Before long, you'll be looking for a SCSI drive and an X-serve.
Oh, man. I do have a SCSI Terminator that I keep holding on to just as a reminder of what we used to have to deal with.
You've turned into Dr. Happy Mac.
Yeah.
He always wants SCSI back. The System 6.
Yeah, I
don't miss SCSI, just to be clear.
I don't want to get emails, Jesus.
Yeah.
I think from sort of my point of view with it as well, you know, we as the updates progress kind of further and further, we're seeing more and more people come in with these issues. I mean, you know, the kind of best example I can think of, when I'm doing a diagnostic on someone's machine, I say if their hard drive is failing, which is a fairly common one for us, I have an SSD which has got an operating system on there which I plug into, you know, check all the rest of the hardware and whatnot, and that's El Capitan, so that's what, four or five versions behind where we are now, and yeah. That's a good operating system, solid, and it just shows, I couldn't agree more with Jeff, that it has, for me, kind of gone too far over the past few kind of iterations.
I mean... I'm kind of on the fence on this one. I mean, I don't want to be apologetic for Apple because I think Catalina has, I mean, in general, like most recent macOS versions have had like some really baffling like issues where like, I mean, you go into settings, and with some settings you can use Touch ID to unlock, and some settings you need a password and stuff like that. Like it's very inconsistent in a lot of areas, or it's very poorly designed in a lot of like key important areas. But I also understand, I mean, Apple has made a decision, whether you agree with it or not, that privacy is important on all their platforms, like no matter what. And I think, I mean, they might have gone overboard a little bit, and I definitely agree with that. But the direction they're taking, that they're taking away default permissions from apps and simply saying, I mean, why does, I don't know, bartender need permission to read the entire screen? Stuff like that. Or why does Chrome need full access to everything on a system? I can totally understand that Apple is saying certain things should be restricted. I mean, as I said, again, maybe it went a little bit overboard. Like, why does an app have to ask for every, basically, the documents folder, the downloads folder, I don't know what else, like all those different directories, there's a separate permission for it. Why do you have to do that? I understand the individual things where it's like, okay, this app might need access to the downloads folder, or the documents folder I can even more understand because that might actually contain sensitive information in a lot of people's like devices. But like, why is that separate? Why can I just say, okay, I give you full disk access, or I give you access to my documents, that's or whatever, that's it. Like, and then you get everything. And if I don't, that's okay. Or why, I mean, also, why are there separate pop-ups? Why is there not okay, here are the permissions that I'm requesting, and you can pick and choose whether you're okay with that. Like, it's just too much. And there are other weird things, like where it's very inconsistent, where it's like, I think every time I update certain apps, I get another permission whether that app can send me notifications.
But why?
Every time I picked it, like it comes back with the next update.
Why aren't we using this though at a user permissions level? So when you take your computer and you sign up and you're the admin, there should be something that says, right, you're the admin, you're going to get full access to all of the systems here. You're going to start any program you damn well like. Are you sure you want to do this? Because if not, we suggest you start a standard user. And then as a standard user, you'll log on and you won't have that issue. We'll be asking for permissions. We'll be asking you for...
Because it has nothing to do with you as a user. I mean, it's more about the apps. I mean, even me as admin, I mean, I'm always admin user. I don't want certain apps to have access to certain things. Like Chrome doesn't need my contacts because you don't know what they're going to do with it.
I totally agree, but you should be able to switch that off then. You should have that function rather than it being automatically and defaulted and inexplicably and undeniably cut off and you can't get it back, which is what they're doing in some of the areas. It is, I cannot enable permissions for Final Cut to write to an external drive. I can't do it.
I'm pretty sure you can.
You know, that's...
You probably haven't figured it out yet, but you can. If you give Final Cut full disk access, that will include everything.
But why make it that difficult? Because I was just thinking then, a lot of the third-party apps that I use, if you do want to give it full disk permissions, which I have to do sometimes for the app to be able to work and do it when I want to, I have to go into system preferences, drag something from the app, and, you know, when in reality it should be a button and enter the password. It's, you know, dragging stuff, and then I get four pop-ups asking me to put the password in, and that's...
But that is on the apps. That is not Apple's fault. The apps can request that. But if the app doesn't do it, like, I mean, how is Apple supposed to know that this app should have full disk access and the other one doesn't? Like, the app has to request it. If the app needs it, it should request it. That's pretty clear.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, of course, but it takes... Well, for me, it shouldn't be that difficult to give that permission. That's
my issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're missing too is what iOS already has, where you can go in and simply toggle, like all the apps are listed and you can simply toggle them and say, okay, this, like, or even on a per app basis, you can go in and have a list of apps and say, this app needs these permissions or whatever, like easily change that it for an app. It's obviously there's a checkbox that says full disk access done. It's definitely complex
than the biggest issue I have with it is just, if you want to give somebody full disk permission, which I do fairly regularly, it's just difficult to do it in certain apps. And you know, and that's I don't believe that's the app because of how consistent it is with what I have to do every time.
No, that's definitely an issue. I mean, I don't know, you could argue that it should be more difficult to give full disk access, but then again, I don't think it should. Like, it's simply, it is something that will happen, like especially people like Callum and like me and like Jeff and probably even Ewan will need to do it every now and then. Like, I have done it.
Yeah, no.
Patrice, I think you just found the solution to my biggest complaint about dealing with permissions in Catalina. And it's the iOS interface that we should have. Meaning, excuse me, an interface where we can go and look at what permissions every single app has and toggle stuff on and off. And then we actually know what each app is able to access.
Yeah, and I mean, we have half of that. We basically have the other side that iOS has, because iOS also has the side where you can go in and say, who has Bluetooth permission? And you get the list of apps that have it or have deactivated it. So, like, we're missing the other piece of iOS, basically.
That would just change my perspective on dealing with all this on the Mac dramatically.
Yeah, it's still in some cases it's too much. In some cases it's baffling how inconsistent it really is. Some of it is literally the app developers not doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't mind the app stuff, but I think there's an awful lot with the OS that still needs work and they haven't really closed it yet. There's plenty to do.
Definitely.
I know we don't tend to do this kind of stuff, but it's the Apple news, not the peripheral news. But I thought this was worth it because I know Doc posted a message in the BTN conversation between me and Patrice and him. And also I've had a play this week with this. Filmic has released Double Take, and it's it gives you the ability to record multiply at 1080p. Now, someone said it records at 4K at 60 frames a second. I don't think it does on this one. I think you're going to have to pay for that in a later app. But I've had a play with it this week, and I think Filmic has probably just for me, found out the reason why I'd want to shoot portrait video somewhere, because I could have them on left and right of the screen and that kind of stuff. I've been blown away with it. It looks amazing. Yeah. You can shoot at 24 frames a second, which is beautifully smooth. It's the app of the year for me, and it's free of charge.
Mm. Wasn't that Filmic Pro, like the Pro version that could even like synchronize multiple devices and stuff that they were showing?
I don't know.
But it's cool. I mean, anyway, like it's especially when it's free.
Yeah, I typed in Filmic and all I got was was double.
No, there's definitely the Pro version, the Filmic Pro version, which I think can go even to higher frame rates and stuff.
Yeah, but that doesn't
I might be wrong about it. I just seem to remember that Apple actually showed Filmic Pro because I remember that I researched that after.
I've got Filmic Pro on here. Hang on a sec. I'll have a look. But I mean, has anyone had a play with Double Take?
Not yet, but I will.
Not yet.
Going to.
I was just sitting thinking, I'll get up a screen here and I'll hold it behind and you'll have me in the front and then you'll have the green screen behind. But because I've got the green screen here, it's just going to be clear. It won't work. But no, as far as dual screen goes, the dual screen functionality and the ability to see, you put it on and you can see, it's called Double Take. It's going to just blow out there. You can't really see it particularly brilliantly, but put your hand here, you can. There we go. But it's got the office there in the background and then me on this side, and it's really, really cool. And the video quality is excellent. If you shoot it in portrait like that, then you're going to be able to shove them together in Final Cut and have absolutely, I think it's discovered the reason why you might want to use portrait video.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. It's that good. I love it. I think it's great. Really, really good. And you can sit and mess with each of the cameras as well to see whether you want the telephoto or the wide. And then on the second camera, and it switches it around. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely over the moon with it. I've had loads of little plays this week, and none of them have any value, technically. Just me going, oh, wow, this is cool. And I had the other thing I did this week was I took a load of stuff into WEX because I wasn't using it. And I said, grant me an offer. And they said, well, we're only going to give you credit. And I said, fine. So I got a load of other stuff out of it. And then I had 400 quid left over. And I thought, I'm going to have the Mavic Mini. And I got the Mavic Mini drone. And that has got a controller that you shove the iPhone into. And it's a little screen. You can see exactly what, and it is rock solid. It doesn't break up or crackle or anything. It's absolutely amazing. And for a drone that's 360 quid, it is, the functionality on it is incredible. It's like a little circulating shot. You tell it to do a circle around you. It'll do a helix to go up. It'll do a, finishing drawback boom shot like a movie. I was blown away. Absolutely blown away. And I've been showing all of that on the screen that wasn't live, so it didn't work anyway. Duh. Filmic Pro allows more than two cameras, says Bob.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
I just remember, but it's, I said, like, I mean, two cameras is more than enough for most people.
Yeah. No, I've had a play this week. I love it. So if you're out there, it's going to be my cool thing at the end is Double Take. Filmic's Double Take for iPhone, but it lets you have that iPhone 11 functionality, but without having an iPhone 11. That's good. Right, we're going to need a bit of translation here, boys, because I don't get this one. Apple engineers propose standardized formats for SMS one-time passcodes. Apple WebKit engineers have put forward a proposal to make one-time passcode SMS messages more secure by developing a standardized format for the two-step verification process. What's happening here?
I don't get it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'm glad that's them. Like... I'm glad it's not just me.
Yeah, I haven't had really time to read the story, like to understand it on a technical level. I don't know what they're, I mean, honestly, like you shouldn't use text messages at all. Like,
yeah, because they're open. That's what I thought.
Yeah. My take on this is that Apple's trying to find a middle ground where you can have, and I know when you're using SMS, it's not really two-factor authentication, but two-factor authentication through SMS where it's more secure, but I'm not getting how it will work, because if an SMS comes in and someone's already hijacked your account, well, they still have the SMS.
Well, you've got automatic insertion as well now. So when stuff comes up, it automatically fills the field in, which is even worse. Does that leave a trace on your clipboard?
Probably doesn't. I don't think Apple is using the clipboard here. But anyway, I mean, that insertion, I'm like, I don't think is much of a problem. It's the SMS before. Like, I mean, as you said, like anybody who can like read that SMS gets the code, and it's usually valid for like at least a couple minutes.
Yeah,
I mean, so, as an Apple engineer that specializes in this, in, you know, Apple products, this makes absolutely no sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get how it will work at all, and I don't really see how it's that necessary. Because not many people use it anymore, to be frank.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, or the only way how I could, I mean, as I said, I haven't read the story, so I don't know what they're thinking, but the only way how I could see that working is if like the SMS literally it contains a device specific code, like there's some kind of key on the device that only the device can read that link or the text or whatever. It's the only way how I could see that working, which like it would be cool. Like I think that would go, because then like nobody can actually intercept it, but other than that, I'm like,
Apparently Google Chrome's already on board with it all, but Mozilla's Firefox team have yet to be convinced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The new proposal will add another level of security to Apple's existing security code autofill function introduced in iOS 12 that can detect one-time passcodes in message and display them conveniently above the user's keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if it involves some sort of additional authentication, you know, like biometric, face ID, touch ID, something like that. So it sends you the code in an encrypted format, and unless you know the device passcode, or have a face ID set up, you can't access the code.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're already in the phone, you can just press any text messages, surely.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm sure there's going to be more details come out soon that we can. Lynching.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm definitely interested on technical level what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. We've got a piece of EU law. This is going to really piss off some of the people that are listening, because they're all celebrating their Brexiteerism. but EU lawmakers have voted overwhelmingly in favour of charging cable standards. Now, we've done this before, and they did say it was micro, and then if you provided an adapter, that's how Apple got around it. I've got to say that I don't... I mean, it says here that Apple have got criticism for this, but I've got to say I'm a little bit lost why we aren't rallying behind USB-C at the moment, because it, in terms of connectivity, it's better. In terms of duration of the connectivity with it not crapping out because of bent pins and stuff, it's better. It's doing data and power. I just think, why on earth, why is Apple holding on to Lightning? Because it makes no sense to me at all.
I mean, Apple's argument is, I mean, I find it a little bit funny. They're saying that their solution, or the current solution, is preventing like trash, or like it's better for the environment, basically, because you don't have to switch out now all the adapters. That's the whole argument.
Which they created. The need.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, I mean, yeah, the adapters are already out there, but who's to say that Apple is not going to switch anyway? Like, there has been the rumor that Apple is switching to USB-C anyway, so it's a little bit of a political game, I think. They just don't want they don't want the government to control what, like, they can put in the phone.
You need to say that again, Cal, because you can't talk while Patrice is talking.
All right, okay. I don't think it's going to be an issue anyway, because I think Apple will eventually move towards the USB-C, just because it is the superior product. I think ultimately.
But why are they balking at this then, if that's what their plan is? It's not exactly a secret.
Up their production timelines.
Yeah.
Oh, so you think they're not going to do it with the next model, maybe? They've got, so look, okay, we will do USB-C, but it won't be the next iPhone, it'll be the one after.
I'd say so, yeah.
And it's going to, that's, okay, that makes a lot more sense, Jeff, yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at the MacBooks you buy today, some of the iPads, they are moving towards USB-C because it's a better product. It just is.
It's like it's a political. I think it's purely political. Is that like the arguments that Apple is bringing are kind of laughable? Like, I mean, yeah, in the short term, it's going to prevent waste. It's going to prevent waste if we don't do that. Or if we don't standardize, but like in the long term, I think it's better. I mean, you could still argue that the whole standardization argument is kind of also a political thing, because I mean, what are we losing if there's Lightning and USB-C and micro? Like every device comes with their own adapter and cable anyway, and like it's usually not an issue.
I think
like that's not going to change. Like nobody, I mean, I don't think manufacturers are going to stop shipping chargers and cables with the devices. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah,
for me, it's a convenience thing. If I have the same cable and I can charge my computer and my iPad and my iPhone from a single cable, then I just like that idea. It's much more convenient than carrying multiple cables.
So I've got the original iPad, and the one thing that suffered badly with was the fact that the charger that they sent with it was shite. So I ended up buying the USB-C charger, which was 75 watts, which charges it in a heartbeat. And it charges it in a heartbeat while you're watching it as well, with full 4K resolution or whatever on it. It's brilliant. But that's USB-C output from that. So then I had to buy a USB-C to a Lightning cable, and I had to buy a heavier duty one because of the fact of the extra current that was going through it. And I'm just sitting thinking, why couldn't I just have a USB-C? Because I carry that charger everywhere, but I carry that charger. Mm-hmm. I carry a Lightning cable.
Yeah.
I then, because of the fact that's USB-C, I have to carry another charger that'll do USB so that I can put the Lightning cable into it. And then it's just like... If I could just have that one charger with a USB-C in it, every device I got would run off it. That would be brilliant. Over the moon. And if you're talking about waste and environmental waste and plastics generation, if you're saying every phone provider has to provide a charger and cable, that's got to end. That's got to end. That totally should end, because it's like a spare tire in a car. No manufacturers put spare tires in cars anymore. They leave you a foot well for it. And if you buy the spare tire extra, because most people don't want a spare tire. So if you want a charger, buy a charger. There's no cars in Europe that come with a spare tire anymore, Jeff.
Not by design.
Wow. Okay. I had no idea. Wow.
Oh, right. He was happy with Bill and Ben before, but now, Christ.
Yeah, but it's happening in the US too. Like my CRV didn't have one either.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nathan's putting down, what about the thickness? Isn't USB-C thicker? But I think it doesn't actually change. I think you could still put it in an iPhone. It won't make a difference.
It's a very, very minimal difference.
I think the bigger issue is depth.
Yeah, I think the reason that Apple are complaining is, as you said, Jeff, they've already done the designs for the 12 and they don't want to. Plus also what they're complaining about is the fact that the EU have voted on this. And I'll just read you the bit in the article. So that means that the portable devices include micro USB, USB-C and the Lightning connector at the front runners. Thursday's resolution didn't specify that the mobile charging standard should be, but non-Apple mobile devices and increasing laptop tablets are charged by USB-C. So the EU is highly unlikely to choose the Lightning connector. So the problem is, as you say, they're going into production phase, they're going into purchase of components phase, and then they're saying, well, actually, we don't even know what they're going to pick. Because, I mean, no, you know, the EU could just go, well, yeah, let's go back to micro USB then, fellas.
They could. I think it's about control. Like Apple doesn't like to give up control over what they want to ship. Like maybe in the future they want to do whatever, something that is different than USB-C, and they can't. And the other thing is, like, I mean, right now they are controlling what can be connected to your phone, or to your phone. because it has to be MFI certified.
Yeah.
And I mean, the edit could still require it, but it will be much harder to enforce.
I think the other thing is as well, I mean, and this is playing devil's advocate with Apple's statement. Their statement says the industry is already moving towards USB-C and the regulation to force conformity would stifle innovation. So that doesn't negate the fact that they actually might be moving to USB-C anyway and it going to USB on the next phone. So they're actually going to be complying with the EU directive, but they're saying if the directive comes in, it means that no one can think of anything new after that. And that's the problem. So,
pretty much.
So, yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Last one. This is one for Jeff. Absolutely one for Jeff. Apple has confirmed its redesign of the maps and it's rolled it out to all users in the United States. So your journey should end now on your drive as opposed to the nearest lake.
This had already rolled out for me in down in Denver. So I've been able to play with the new maps for, 3 months now, I think. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't having trouble really with the old maps, except for one place in Denver, trying to get to Union Station, you know, where all the trains and buses come together. With the old maps, what it would do is direct you on a loop where you would never actually get to Union Station. You would just keep driving around it. And with the new maps, that issue seems to have been addressed. But you know, aside from that, it's nice. So mm-hmm. when you guys get the new maps, and I'm sorry you don't have it already, but when you get it, it is a nice improvement for the areas where they have all of their Street View stuff set up. It's really slick. It's better than Google Street View. Yeah, and it feels more like you're actually there.
Yeah, nice. It's definitely something I miss. I mean, I got to use it like Jeff probably 3-4 months ago in Arizona. And the areas where it was shit was usually the same as in Google. Like if Google didn't get it and the Apple Maps didn't get it either. So get it right either. There were like a couple of malls where it would literally send you to the wrong place for some reason. Like I don't know. Like it just didn't make any sense. But I miss it here. I definitely do.
Yeah. Oh, right. And the thing about being able to have directions that get you to the correct entrance, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. It's not consistent. So there are some locations that even with the new maps, I found that it will get you near where you're supposed to go, mm-hmm. but it's not exactly right. For example, I went to a meetup a week or two ago, and I knew where I was going. But I chose to let maps direct me there because I wanted to see what it was going to do and if it was going to give me directions that were better than what I had before. Because previously it would tell me to go down this one road, and when you get to the parking lot that you turn into for this restaurant, it tells you to take a U-turn there and drive back like a quarter block and stop on the road, and now you're at the location. As opposed to turn into the parking lot. It didn't fix that. It still wanted me to do a U-turn and stop in the middle of the street.
I'm going. Yeah,
I've had something similar where like there was a restaurant and the restaurant was clearly marked on the map. Like there were like a bunch of stores and restaurants in the like a mall area, and it had clearly marked the restaurant, but it would like take you to the like sometimes the exit, like the parking lot exit, that was really far away from the restaurant instead of like just driving down the street and then like entering where it was closest. It didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
I did a job in America years ago, and it was actually in Grand Rapids in Michigan. But I got family in Detroit, so I flew into Detroit, hired a car, and then I was going to go and see them. And I'd never driven myself to their location before. So I had a laptop and I got a program for it, which was a GPS thing. You had to plug the GPS thing and put it on the dashboard, and then you had to set the thing. And it was a very, very early time. I'm going back to 2000, maybe 2001. So it was cutting edge at the time. And I got this thing, and it was great. It was giving me turns, and it was like, wow, this is actually working. And then all of a sudden, it just, I was on the road, and it just stopped, and it was like, that's it. And it was like, so it was like a four-lane highway, two in each direction, and the cars are belting backwards and forwards behind it, and this thing just puts, just stops dead in the middle of the road, and then it puts a dotted line to where my cousin's house is. You're like, how do I get there? Because the zoom on the screen was like, I can't even see the, you know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I take the next left and then I'm there. I've still got a load of windy roads to get through to get to this thing. And it's just like just dotted line. Yeah, just part of the car. Oh, see how you get on.
Yay, technology.
So the fact that we're actually gone beyond that is excellent in 20 years.
Things I really like is they can now also detect lanes, for example. So they can tell you, take the leftmost lane because you're going to turn left, like at the next intersection or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that is good. The one thing one of the things that they still need to address, if you're in the middle of a parking lot and you're supposed to leave the parking lot and then start driving down a road, don't tell me proceed to the route.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you're in a parking lot, you know, there's the strip mall buildings or whatever around you. And if you're not familiar with the area, you don't know which direction to go to get to the street that you're actually supposed to drive on.
Yeah.
So they need to do something about proceed to the route.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the other favorite also in the same situation is it will tell you to basically take like whatever the closest entrance to the street is and then turn at the, like if it's like, if the mall is like at an intersection, like it's a corner and you're supposed to basically go like whatever, basically it tells you to go on the street and then turn right. So basically you could just proceed like down the mall like parking lot and just go on the road and keep driving, but it tells you to go on the street and wait at the traffic light and then turn right. Like it's kind of, it kind of just assumes you should go back to the main street and then go instead of just going through the parking lot.
Yeah. And, you know, and at the same time, we have technology that's so advanced, we can complain about a direction system that can't figure out the difference between a road and a parking lot for where we should drive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
We do live in a marvelous age.
We do.
We do live in, we take it for granted an awful lot and bitch and complain about technology, but we do live in a marvelous age.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. I think we're a touch harsh at times.
But we are. We're very spoiled with our technology.
Yeah, but the difference is that statement's not fun.
Absolutely true.
It's way more fun taking the piss out of stuff.
Absolutely.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by wonderful people. We have support from TSO Host. They give us all the space on their servers. We've got two massive servers that fly. They deal with the live server. They deal with the storage of the existing website with all the existing files. You can get all of the big shows, the Mac shows, the daily shows going back 8 years, maybe a bit more, nearly 10. It's unbelievable. And something to go back and listen to, especially some of the ones where I go back and look at the video shows when we started those and think, my God, I was young once. That's superb. At the moment, they've got 50% off managed VPS services for you. So don't put in the offer code BTN20 because you'll only get 20% with that. Put in their offer code and get 50%. Absolutely. But other stuff with hosting, you get 20% off with BTN20. But they're not interested in that from us. They don't want it. What they want from you is for you to go online and say, thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. Simple as that. That's all you got to do. If you value the shows that we offer you, and I appreciate that some of you maybe don't, but if you do, please, please, please go out there and make sure you say something. A lot of people have done that this week, so thanks to those people who've bothered to take the time to do it. It makes a massive difference. And the other people who support us are at IMNMax. So again, get on the socials and give some love. The boys up there up in Birmingham, it's a local-based firm here in Birmingham. They repair Macs, and they repair your legacy Mac. So if you've taken a computer to Apple and Apple won't touch it, then these boys will. They'll do all the fine soldering and that kind of stuff on logic boards. So if you're buying a new logic board, you can just repair the old one. They'll do data recovery. They've got some stuff that you can buy off them that's pre-loved, and you can give it a future life in your own home. Keep the kids happy about doing homework or watching a bit of Apple TV and that kind of stuff. It is absolutely brilliant. And we thank them very much for their support. So make sure you get out on the socials and give some love to @iMedMax. And if you've got an iPad needs a new battery or a new screen or an iPhone needs a new screen or any kind of work on any Apple product whatsoever, get in touch with the boys over at iMedMax and see if they can help you, because the chances are they probably can. Have we got an offer of the week at the moment, Cal?
I'm going to let you down. We don't at the moment, no.
So you're saying is you've sold everything?
Everything's been sold. No, we do have in stock some very nice MacBook Pro Retinas. We've just got a nice used iPad in, perfect for just kind of general family use, going nice and cheap as well. We've got a couple of iMacs in stock. Head over to our website. Everything's on there. I do believe there is a bit of a January sale running on a few bits and pieces, so go over there. Now is the time to buy while it's still just about January.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Have we carried on? Because there's a stream hiccup there again. I've got a little orange symbol appeared this time.
Seems to be working
now. I've closed a few things, so we'll see what's going on. Right, and we've also got another competition. As of next week, you will have the opportunity to win an exclusive at iMen Mugs. iMen Mugs. No, you don't men mugs. You men Max mugs. And we're going to have to get round that one. I'm going to practice that one all week before we get to the competition. And also a Text Expander mug. And the other thing that's fantastic is that if you like Text Expander, then use the offer code BTN2020. Jeff, thank you ever so much for that. All BTN members will get the a reduction on Text Expander. I think it's only $3 a month, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, if you already had a Text Expander license, it's like under $3 a month. And if you've never had one and you don't have a discount, then it's $3.99 a month.
So it's not exactly an expensive application considering how functional it is.
Yep.
Yeah. And also don't forget, you've got Jeff on standby. He will be your personal technical support and he will be able to give you personal lessons.
You know where to find me.
Through regular webinars on how to use it. I love that.
Yep.
I'm going to sign up between the shows because I haven't signed up for Text Expander. I will do. Thanks to Smile Software for offering that to the members. That's really cool. And thanks to you. Right. Time for cool thing. Start us off, Patrice.
Yeah, I'm going to pick my AirPods Pro. I finally decided to get them. My other AirPods are kind of running low, like the battery, like after 2 years and a bit. The battery is still okay, but the talk time has gone down to a level where like I'm using them for meetings and stuff, and the talk time is simply not enough for me to do it, or like to like not run out of battery within like an hour long meeting. It's running. It's like kind of a limit. But the AirPods Pro, I mean, they're expensive, but they're really good. I was actually surprised how well they work. Yesterday, I basically went from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I was constantly in meetings and constantly talking. And like at round 4 was when the battery started like reporting that they're running low. So it's really good. They work really well. The what is it called? Transparency mode, I think, where you can walk around outside. You can still somewhat hear, so it's not fully what's this thing? Noise cancellation. It's not fully enabled. Works really well. They sit really well. So I'm actually surprised how much I like them. I mean, I've had AirPods before, so like the novelty kind of wore off. They're really, really good. I mean, they're not cheap. I'm not going to lie. They're really expensive. But I think, at least for me, they're well worth it.
Excellent. Brilliant. Good pick. I can't remember how much they are.
They were €250, €270, €279, I think it was.
Yeah, I think €250.
Yeah.
Deepan says, love my AirPods Pro, but the case hinge is flimsy.
Well, I have not.
Bob agrees.
Yeah. Should be. Like, I haven't had them long enough to really tell. For me, it feels like the same as the old case, so.
Joe says, transparent mode's amazing. I've got it on my Beats Pro Solos. Yeah, cool. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
I have the new version of Fantastical. So yeah, Fantastical, they've done an update,
haven't they? Yes, I saw this.
Yeah, that is great.
It just came out, a couple days ago?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to keep track. The days are a blur when you're in Vegas. And so unified interface across all your devices. And if you were already using Fantastical 2, you don't lose any features. So you can just upgrade for free and have all the new interface stuff. Excuse me. Plus a weather report that's just right there in your views, and the new interface, I do prefer it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then if you decide you want to do the subscription on top of that, then you get a bunch of additional features, like the ability to send people. It's like Calendly built right into Fantastical, but it's not actually Calendly. It's Flexibit's own version of that. So you can send people links where they can pick times and get on your calendar. And but you don't need to pay for the service if all the other features that you need are there for you. So I think they did a really nice job of giving this upgrade with a lot of value for the price, but then accommodating their users that won't actually need any of those features. So I think it was a very generous upgrade path.
Yeah, it is great. Like I updated right away. You get like the same features as version 2 if you have version 2. You get actually a couple things on top, which they mention, like weather forecasts and stuff like that. But the extended version is great. Like, I mean, I like the interface, but like they have Zoom integration, Google Calendar integration. They have a lot of integrations that work really well. So I think I'm going to subscribe. Like, it just works for me, and I use it every day.
I'm
like,
sure
it is my main calendar.
Well, you say that, but Joe's gone, yes, great application. So he's in. Bob Beach says he's installed it on iPhone and iPad. And he said the basic free version has got everything that he needs. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think he needs to subscribe.
It's amazing how much they are giving you in the free version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So just because I'm probably in this group as well, why not carry on with iCal? Why go to Fantastical?
So for some people, they just simply don't like the Apple Calendar interface. What I like about Fantastical, excuse me, is that their system for using plain text for creating an event is much smarter, I think, than Apple's system for doing that. And then I prefer the way that Fantastical will display my calendar for me. So I just have this nice compact view in the menu bar on my Mac. On my iPhone and iPad, the views for me are much more intuitive than Apple's calendar. And it's just been one of those tools that, to me, just builds on what Apple has done with their own calendar app. So for some people, sure, I can see why they would say, calendar app is just fine and does everything I need. So why move to something else? But for people that need to be in their calendar a lot, but they don't want it to be obtrusive, Fantastical, I think, is a great option.
Yeah, I mean, for example, we have Exchange in the company, and with Fantastical, I can actually go in and like add the attendees and then like click a button and I see all available time slots and it will suggest the first one. That's stuff that Apple doesn't do right now, at least.
You definitely right. need a download of that, I think. I'm someone who just uses the standard Apple calendar, but I'm just having a quick look at what it offers, and it looks very it looks very good. being frank.
If you rarely ever use your calendar, then it's probably not worth it. But if for someone like, I'm guessing Jeff and me, who use it all day and like for a lot of meetings and a lot of stuff, it's absolutely worth it. It's so much faster, so much better to like grasp what's going on, so much easier to just create an event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it fully integrates with everything. Like it's literally like, I mean, there's almost no difference to the Apple calendar. There's the only annoyance, and that's another annoyance with Catalina actually, or actually with all macOS, is that like you cannot select your email app properly. So it will actually, for me, it opens the wrong email app when I want to respond to an event.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a go. I mean, the thing that swung me is A, Jeff's testimonial, but B, also the fact that Bob has said, you know, the basic function's got what he needs. So, I'll give it a go. Yeah. I'm giving it a go. Mm-hmm. Cal, what have you got for us, mate?
Going to pop it in quickly. So what I've got this week is a program called Disk Drill. So I'm actually going to probably go over one of the cool things I did a few weeks ago. So I think I mentioned.
Do you know what I love about this? And that when you get any application that's this geeky, and you've done this a couple of weeks now, you get to a website and the website's like, yeah, it's here. We're not going to put any graphics up. There's no pictures of people using it. We're not going to do any like something like, there's no YouTube video you can go to. It's just like, here you go. Look, buy it, don't buy it. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's something that I've been using quite a lot this week in particular. Because we had a customer in where the partition had failed, and it enabled me to basically rebuild the partition and get the data off for the customer. But when I was using it, it had a load of other features which I thought were really neat, and actually meant that the three or four programs I was using I could move down to one. So as well as being primarily a data recovery tool, it actually had the ability to read iCloud backups. So if you say had an iCloud backup of your phone you wanted to get a picture of, you could go into it and you could read the kind of raw data from it, which was really, really neat. And another thing it does as well, provided you have the installer files, it will make USB installers for Macs, which is really neat, because normally I have to go into the terminal and things like that, and that just does it for me, which is really, really neat. And also, it is fairly expensive. It's about £80, but it's in setup as well. So,
You're kidding?
Yeah, it's really
wow.
Really,
really, really good.
Oh well, that's just that's the entire funk. That's a yearly pay for setup almost. I love setup, so that's always a winner, isn't it? The basic application does a fair old bit to start with, doesn't it? It's enough.
It does, yeah. But I was able to preview the backup in it, but I wasn't able to get it. And I looked at the price and I thought, okay, right. And then I had a look in setup, because after the first couple of shows I got it, and it was there.
I'm glad we introduced you to setup, mate. That's brilliant.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, love it. Setup is the best money I spend every month.
Yep.
Without a doubt. Michael Thing is Double Take. We talked about it earlier on. It is great. I mean, it just basically lets you take any application. So, you know, you can do the Double Take kind of effect with an iPhone 11 because it's built in. But this lets any other iOS device do the same kind of thing. And it is brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. It's super smooth video. Really, really good. The fact that it syncs the audio tracks as well on both of the videos is cool, because it means that you can, I thought the one that would face me would have an audio track on it and the one that was facing away wouldn't. But in terms of syncing it then, it makes it so much easier. And you can also bounce it then. If you've got two separate tracks, you can bounce one to left channel and one to right channel and get a really good stereo effect off it. I've had a play this week. I loved it. I won't be changing it. And you can do 24 frames a second, which is Hollywood standard, boys. Hollywood standard.
Very cool.
24 frames a second is where it's at. Smooth and creamy. And it's free. There you go. Absolute free. Where can we get a hold of you, Petri?
Well, you can get me every week here on The Mac Show and on The Big Show later tonight, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. We'll see you a bit later. Jeffrey, where would you be?
I'm over at textexpander.com, and here I am on the Mac show, and because I love hanging out with all of you. Big show later on today, and I make the podcast circuit, so I'm around. Jay Gammon on Twitter and Instagram.
That's the longest you've ever done.
Admit it, you just like hanging out with me. That's it.
That's really what it is. And Patrice, seriously, that's what it is. But I didn't want to make you feel bad. Like,
yeah, the rest of us. The rest of Cal, you.
So I just said everyone.
You and me, Cal, we're just gooseberries.
I mean, you guys are okay too.
Oh, thanks. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I've been elevated to the level of okay, Charming.
But seriously, I have big hugs for all of you the next time I see you in person.
You and keep trying. You can be average if you try. that sounds like my sports teacher. Callum, where would you be?
So you can catch us on Twitter, Facebook, all of the socials. Go to our website, imamax.com. Drop us an email. Got any questions, anything you want to know, please do. I'm on here most weeks. I missed out last week, but I'm becoming a regular now. I think
yes, you're one of the team, mate. We need to get your caricature done.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god! Then I am one of the team. You can catch me on Twitter as well. But if you have any questions or if you just want to say hello, please do get in touch with us. We're nice and friendly, and we're always willing to give some advice or some help or anything any of you all need.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. I was going to say lastly, Patrice, but he's been done to start with. He's thrown me this week. My name's Ian Rankin. Get me at Ian Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. Don't forget to say thanks to all the sponsors and that kind of stuff as well. If you want to know about the links, go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Navigate to the 31st of January, and you'll see all of the links that are in there, including the humorous security video from Mac versus PC. Don't forget, like and subscribe us on our YouTube channel, and we'll enter you in for the data color draw as well. Back with the photo show at 6 p.m. So 40 minutes break, and then we're back at it. It's going to be a great fun night. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.